Welcome to the podcast of Thousand Harbors Zen, featuring talks with Cohen France. This podcast is made possible by generous donations from our listeners. To contribute or to learn more about our community, please visit thousandharborszen.com.
Today is Earth Day, which kind of snuck up on me. And it has me thinking about how we hold the world. I don't think it's a stretch to say that for most of us, reverence for the natural world comes easily. Maybe we don't rest in that all the time, but we find it. Some people go looking for it. They go looking in tide pools, and they get down on their hands and knees to look at the moss, right? They want that connection. But even when we're busy, even when we're distracted, we can be taken off guard by a sunset or by the ocean, something so big that it takes us out of whatever we're thinking. It takes us out of whatever we think we're needing. And for a moment, we feel what I recently heard someone call the good insignificance. We feel small, but not in a dangerous way. Things are big and things are good. So we have that. We can just do that. We can choose it, or it can sneak up on us. And then there's everything else. There's all the stuff. We're surrounded by stuff. In this room, we're surrounded by stuff. When we go home, we're surrounded by stuff. And the stuff, if you're like me anyway, doesn't have that same feeling. It doesn't have that same impact. And so I might linger before I get in my car because I hear a bird singing and I think that's so beautiful. And then I get into my car and there's a steering wheel and there are these floor mats, right? There's all this stuff, handles and buttons. I don't think about any of it, except to the degree that I notice that it has utility for me. The greater the utility, the greater my appreciation, maybe. So there are some things that I really, really like, some stuff, either because I have a real need for it, or because it serves me in some other way. I used to have a spatula. It felt so good in my hand. I loved it. I was a little bit more careful with it. Like, don't break that. This is the perfect spatula. And then, of course, I broke it. And the second I broke it, it was trash. What I want to say in the simplest terms is that this is a problem. This is a problem for us to address. And so even though it's Earth Day, and this is the day when we would usually talk about the earth in that way of, you know, forests and oceans, I want to instead use this as an opportunity to remind ourselves that we divide the world into parts, into things that matter and things that don't, into things that open up reverence and things that don't, things that have utility and therefore not reverence, and things that don't have utility, but for lots of reasons, open us up. There's something beautiful and freeing and spacious about the fact that that mountain in the distance has no utility for us. We can appreciate it because we aren't asked to appreciate it in any other way. We aren't asked to measure it in any other way. We don't have to decide if it's the right mountain for us. Right? We don't have to be disappointed because I really wanted a different mountain, but this is the mountain that's on sale. It's fine. It isn't asking anything of us, and we aren't asking anything of it. And so we can be blown away by it. And of course, there's a history, a long history, of us treating the natural world with that lens of utility. And what happens when we do that is that we lose that reverence. When we see that mountain and we see those trees as products that we can have, we're no longer looking at it in a way that blows us away. We're looking at it in a way that we can measure. I was asked recently to speak at a symposium about Dogen, and I'm supposed to say in 5 minutes why I think Dogen matters and what I think Dogen is saying. Oh, man. But when I'm spinning around, when I think about this question, I come back to this notion that Dogen was saying over and over and over and over again, you can't measure things. That may be the main message. We want desperately to measure them. And even within this reverence that I'm describing, we do it so that we see a sunset, and then the next day we see an even better sunset, and we think, yesterday's sunset was, it was okay, but it was an 8. It's the most automatic thing we do. There's even an element within Zen. If you were to visit a monastery, you would see, and at lunch today I talked about like where the spoon goes, all these things. There are ways that you approach objects. You know, you bow to certain objects, you touch certain objects in certain ways. There are things that you never put on top of other things. You know, the robe that I'm wearing, you can't put something on top of this. And so we're asked to hold certain things with reverence. And even as we're internalizing that, even as we're letting that become normal, you know, to treat stuff as something more than stuff, it's in a context of a tradition that's also saying, yeah, but other stuff doesn't have to be held that way. Right? This has to be on top, which means something else always has to be under. And so we develop that muscle a little bit, and still we're measuring. Measuring and measuring and measuring. We have teachings about interdependence that ask us to look at stuff in a different way. We look at a piece of paper and we're told, remember, this piece of paper is not just a piece of paper. This piece of paper, first of all, it comes to you through so many hands. People who delivered it and who packaged it, who sold it, who worked at a mill. And there it came from trees. It came from chemicals. The tree came from water. The tree came from the sky, from the sunlight. And it started as a seed, and that seed came from somewhere else. And we go back and back, and we do this exercise. We do this over and over and over again so that we look at a piece of paper as people, as clouds, as sunshine. And we're doing it because we're building an argument that this matters too, in that same way. In that same way that the sunset matters, in the same way that the ocean matters. Don't forget this. But even then, we're constructing it, right? We're constructing it out of other parts, and we're, in a way, we're accepting that the natural stuff matters more because it matters on its own merits. It has its own dignity. A cloud has its own dignity. And so if we want to find the dignity of the piece of paper, we should associate it with that cloud because we get it with the cloud. Right? That one's simple. This one's hard. Everything that we encounter, everything that we touch, all the stuff that is our stuff. And this is not a conversation about how much stuff we have. That's a whole other conversation. This is a conversation about the thing in us that doesn't want to assign the same respect to most of what we see. This is about the part of us that spiritualizes the things that are easy to spiritualize and then categorizes the rest as mundane. And so a deer on your lawn, it almost feels like a sign there in the fog in the morning. And the screwdriver in your drawer, who cares? Right? There's no religious experience that we have with that. We could say, look at all the hands that brought me this screwdriver. Look at all the things that I've built with this screwdriver. Right? The ways in which it's helped me. But then all we're doing is we're trying to measure it better. And maybe that's how we get there. Maybe it's the thought exercise of why does this thing that seems so lifeless have life? Why does this thing that seems not to matter matter? Why is this thing that seems so utterly replaceable its own object in the world that occupies, as Dogen would say, its own Dharma position? Unique to it. I'm not saying don't do those thought exercises. I'm just saying they're all half measures. They're all replacements for a kind of fundamental curiosity. The curiosity that leads us, that allows us to be pulled toward that cloud, toward that sunset, toward that bird diving over the ocean, that makes us stop what we were just saying and say, listen to that. Or did you see that? I walk near my house, I see especially squirrels and ducks. Squirrels and ducks make me happy. They're adorable. They're cute. They don't care. They don't care about me. They don't care about anything I understand. But they know what they're doing. They're purposeful. And so when I take a walk and I suddenly stumble upon a duck, that's 5 minutes. I'm just going to stand there and I'm going to stare at this duck because I can't improve upon this. I can't make it a better duck. And that moment, that encounter, which again, for the duck, is nothing. For me, is associated with feelings of joy. It's feelings of love. It's almost a giddy feeling that I didn't go looking for, that I didn't ask for. It arrived because I turned a corner and I saw something that to me matters. That moment is gold. That moment matters so much. And again, all I want to draw attention to today is that moment comes after I've ignored a million other moments. Every step, every glance, every breath reveals the world. We're always looking at reality. We're always looking at reality in its fullness. Not some tiny slice of it. not a room in a house with a lot of other rooms. There is nothing more real than this. We can talk about that in terms of importance or dignity. We can talk about it in terms of Buddha nature. We can talk about their Dharma position. We can use whatever language we want. If we accept that there is nothing out there that is more real than what is in here, then the next step, if we really allow for that thought, is we might start feeling kind of giddy. Because look at this. We might start to feel a little bit of awe. We might get pulled into something very, very small. Like the patterns on the floor. And then get pulled back by something big. In this room, people are breathing and there's a clock ticking and there's a floor that holds us up. All these things are real. So on Earth Day, I hope we'll all step outside this afternoon and soak it all up. Right? I hope that we'll allow for that feeling of being pulled in or pulled out. But I hope we'll also go home and notice the fork on the table, or the TV, or the sound of the neighbors who are so loud, and at least consider that there's a possibility there as well, of something else that we have access to and have just denied ourselves. And that's where I'll stop.
You have been listening to a Thousand Harbors Zen podcast. Please visit thousandharborszen.com.